Hundreds of millions of dollars in compensation could soon have to be paid to native title holders after a High Court ruling that's been described as the most significant since Mabo recognised native title 25 years ago. The High Court has awarded $2.5 million to the traditional landowners at Timber Creek in the Northern Territory for both economic loss and cultural loss after it found their native title was extinguished. The case could set a precedent for hundreds of other claims across Australia. Tony Denholder is an expert in native title law. He's a partner at the firm Ashurst. He joins us from Brisbane today. Tony, welcome to RM Breakfast.
Good morning, Fran.
It's been a long time coming. Is this really the first compensation claim for native title extinguishment since native title law came into being?
This is the first time since Mabo in 1992 that the High Court has set out the methodology by which compensation should be calculated for acts which have damaged or extinguished native title. It has taken a long time.
What is the significant thing about the ruling? Is it the first time that it's determined compensation or that it's recognised loss of spiritual connection, not just economic loss? Is that the big change here?
Yeah, there's two things. This is the first time the court has set out how you calculate the compensation. The key aspect is the fact that the court said it isn't only the economic loss, it's the non-economic loss, it's the loss of culture. And an example is that there were sacred sites in the area, Dingo Dreamings, and a water tank had been built in the path of one of these dreamings. And the court accepted that this had caused great suffering to the Aboriginal group, that they had lost their spiritual attachment to the land. And for that, the court awarded $1.3 million. They said that the group had been ashamed, that they couldn't look after their land properly, and it had caused them gut-wrenching pain.
Yeah, in fact, the court described it as the damage is like punching holes in a painting, holes that can never be repaired. That's how the justices tried to explain it to the rest of us, I suppose. And it did hear from claimants. Lorraine Jones, for instance, said the loss of culture was like a tangle in the tummy. It's disconnection to country is such an intangible thing. It's must have been difficult for the judges to calculate fair compensation in this instance and into the future. Does this lay out any kind of blueprint for that?
It is very difficult because, as the trial judge said, this is a matter of art and not science, and very much was an intuitive decision. So the court looked at what the trial judge had awarded, $1.3 million, and they said that wasn't manifestly excessive and that the community would think that was a fair and just amount. But there's no such template to calculate the damage to cultural attachment in other parts of Australia. It would depend upon what are the relevant acts, which is the group, what is the nature of their attachment, and then what's the impact on that attachment. So there's 375 claim groups across the country who have already had their native title recognised. Each of those will have very particular circumstances pertaining to their connection to their land.
So how does this play out then? Each 375 claim groups with recognised native title, each potentially you think they will make a claim following this decision?
Well, I think it's inevitable. The Native Title Act made it very clear that firstly, groups had the ability to go to the federal court to prove their native title.
And that's been done.
And that's been done for many of them, not all.
Yep.
And then the next step was a right to seek compensation for acts of government since 1975, when the Racial Discrimination Act was enacted, a right to claim compensation for acts of government over the last 45 years where native title has been impacted.
So, but each court will have to look at each one and assess that this could be a long process. This could take decades.
Yes, it could. I mean, it's a little bit akin to personal injuries. An injury suffered by a person will differ upon what their occupation is and so on. So each will be very bespoke. And that's why I suspect governments will look at opportunities to seek agreements to resolve these out of the courts.
You're listening to RN Breakfast. It's 20 past eight. Our guest is Tony Denholder, an expert in native title law, thankfully, because that's what we need. Just to fill us all in on this case, Tony, the Timber Creek claim, because it was tiny area, really, 1.27 square kilometres of land. What was involved? What was the interference, the acts of government that they've been compensated for in this case?
Yes, it was largely the establishment of Timber Creek as a town in the 1980s, and the area which was subject to the compensation is only 127 hectares. Now, by comparison, native title has already been recognised to 2.8 million square kilometres of the country. So there's a a large area across the country where native title has been established. The Acts ranged from the grant of freehold titles for houses, a number of titles granted for public works, including an area for a school. I'm not sure whether the school was built, a cemetery reserve, water pipelines, and some roads. So the classic things that government would build in a small town.
So across that 2.8 million square kilometres where native title has already been recognised, there will be roads, there probably will be plumbing, there could be towns, there could be a lot of things. What do you, have any estimation of what a final compensation bill might look like nationally?
Well, Fran, you're right. I mean, any act of government since 1975 where roads have been established, public facilities put in place, mining leases granted, pastoral leases granted, if those things were done without taking into account native title, and remember, that would have been difficult before 1992 when the courts hadn't yet recognised Mabo. So there's a large range of compensable acts. Given this was 2.5 million for 127 hectares, it will meet $1 billion, but realistically, it'll be more than that.
And who'll be paying that? Will the pastoralists who put up the fences in 1985 be liable for that? Will the mining companies who've, you know, drilled in those areas since that time, will they be have to pay, or will the government have to pay?
So Paul Keating's Native Title Act made it very clear the government is primarily liable, the states, the territories, and the Commonwealth. And actually, Paul Keating proposed that the Commonwealth would cover 75% of the state's liability. That was before the Wick case, and the Wick case then recognised native title may exist to pastoral leases, which is a large portion of the East Coast. So in by the time of the Julia Gillard government, that agreement between the states and Commonwealths had fallen away. So the states are primarily liable, though some have already taken some steps in the last 15 years in legislation to put pass-throughs to industry. So in New South Wales and Western Australia, there's some pass-throughs in their respective mining acts for some mining tenements to for that compensation to be paid by the mining lease holders.
Mining companies are one thing, but remember during the, you know, the bitter Wick debate, pastoralists being very concerned about, you know, that they might be liable. I mean, would there be individual pastoralists out there now getting very nervous?
I wouldn't be getting nervous. I haven't found yet any statutory pass-through for existing pastoral leases, but it begs the question, will government try and pass on some of the compensation when those leases are renewed?
And just finally and briefly, Tony, the Queensland government wants a coordinated federal response. They want to try and wind back the law to put it in the federal era or area again?
I saw those comments yesterday. It makes sense that there's some coordinated national response, but the reality is the states will be liable for their acts. And each of the groups across the country have their own individual rights to seek compensation. So perhaps what we will see is Indigenous land use agreements between government and particular claim groups.
Tony Denholder, thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you, Fran.
You did a good job of helping us understand that. Tony Denholder, an expert in native title law and a partner at the firm Ashurst.